Hello and welcome to Alter Geek Unlimited, episode 10. I am your host for this episode, Michael Powers. I am joined by Steve Megatron Phillips.
Hello.
And for the first time ever, we for the first time ever, we have a third chair. We have Art Danner from Off the Cuff joining us.
Look, I'm a surprise.
I asked on Twitter if anybody wanted us to spoil who the third guest was going to be, and nobody really seemed to care.
Because nobody cared, and they would especially care. I think
people are asleep this week.
Yeah, I think especially if they would have found out who the guest was, they would have cared even less.
So
that's a lie. They would have cared less if it was Sean.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately,
they would have asked if he was dead yet.
And still live, Sean Zebra.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we've got some listener feedback from episode. Sorry, I almost said 29 because that was off the cuff. we have some listener feedback from episode 9, and then I have
we have feedback from the future.
Yeah. I have some. Wow, I just got derailed. I have a topic that I would like to discuss that I've been thinking about for a little while, and then Steve has some news for us. Ooh. So, yes. Without further ado, we asked last week, we asked three questions. We asked, what was your favorite new fall TV show? And Steve threw in there what your ultimate geek dream was going to be. Dream goal, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And then we threw in the, have you snuck in something for yourself under the guise of a family gift? I'm just going to start with that, with the last one really quick.
That's unethical.
No one shared one.
I did.
Did you?
I totally shared one. I did.
What was it? I didn't see it.
Disney Infinity. Totally claimed that it was for the kids. Totally claimed that it was for the family. When in actuality, completely for me.
Right. Forgot about that. So it seems like the three of us are the only ones that were manipulative enough to try and sneak something by our family members.
No. We're the only ones that are willing to admit it.
We did give people ideas in there.
Yeah.
We did.
I mean, there were other people in the post that were saying that that they hadn't thought of it yet, and they were like, oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, Dan did say that he's tried that with his wife, but his wife always figures it out. So he's never been able to.
He's smarter than him.
Maybe. So he's never been able to get away with it. But you guys did have a lot to say about TV shows. We've got King of Kongs said that his favorite new show so far this season has been The Hostages. Which, I think out of the three of us, that's I'm the only one that's seen that so far.
Just didn't look interesting to me.
It, we talked about it on the GCRN TV Spotlight, and the threat that is being used against a member of the family is the most implausible part of that whole show. It just kind of falls apart. Spoilers. When the president's life is on the line, the fact that your husband cheated on you shouldn't really be blackmail over whether or not your wife does or does not murder the president. It just doesn't seem to hold up. I'll keep watching it. I tuned in because it was Dylan McDermott, and I really enjoyed him on American Horror Story. I'm kind of bummed that he's on The Hostages because it means he might not be in season 3, but he could always show up. So also got several shout outs for the Michael J. Fox show.
I have all those recorded right now. I just have not got to them on my DVR yet.
Not a bad show.
Yeah,
it's gonna say Parkinson jokes are always funny, so I can imagine it'll be around for a long time.
I don't know that.
It was actually kind of funny where he's sitting there trying to open the jar, and then they everybody else is just having, you know, conversation, and then eventually somebody takes the jar away from him.
Yeah, I mean, there are jokes made at the expense of, like, Parkinson's and whatnot, but I don't feel like it relies solely on Parkinson jokes.
No.
Dan says, the only new shows I caught were the Michael J. Fox Show and the Crazy Ones, but he did not realize the Michael J. Fox Show was going to be a mockumentary approach. You know what? I've seen the second episode. I don't know if that carries over. Does it? Or is that only, like, the first episode? I'm probably the only one that's watched both episodes, aren't I?
Probably.
I can't even remember.
Probably.
And I haven't seen the Crazy Ones.
So,
I've seen the first episode.
Yeah, and I started watching the first episode, it's and funny. I fell asleep halfway through it.
That's a ringing endorsement.
It's funny.
Yeah, isn't it?
Dan said he's also been watching the new Ricky Gervais show on Netflix.
Derek? And,
yeah, I haven't watched that yet, but I'm not a Ricky Gervais fan.
It's in my queue. I'm not either.
He's also been watching...
I don't like the guy.
He's also been watching Hello Ladies, which also, I guess, started this last week on HBO, starring Stephen Merchant. I'll check it out because I have HBO Go, not to mention other means of checking it out. But
And it's Stephen Merchant.
What else has he been in? Because that name sounds familiar.
He was Wheatley in Portal 2.
Oh, okay.
He's been in many, many other things, but I knew that would be something you would recognize him from.
Okay. Danner, you said that you watched Dads and you thought it was okay.
It's okay. It's not great. I mean, I didn't even notice until after the first episode that it was a Seth MacFarlane show.
Yeah, I had no idea. About that. Well, does it do the... I was wondering if it does the... like we talked about on the TV episode of GCRN, the bitch in Apartment 23 I call it like a live action cartoon where they would do the Family Guy thing where they would call out a joke and then they would switch to a scene where they show the joke play out.
It is not like to.
Is it more traditional?
It's more traditional. Where, like, if I had to compare it to another Seth MacFarlane show, it's more American Dad than it is Family Guy, where Family Guy goes off on a tangent all 22 minutes, where American Dad actually has a storyline.
Okay.
Where it does, you know, tend to go off on a few tangents, but there's a beginning, a middle, and an end to all those episodes. So it more resembles American Dad to me than Family Guy. And I thought somebody said it in the comment boards, but I could be wrong, or I saw it on Twitter that somebody mentioned that it just seems like it'd be better suited as a Comedy Central show than as a Fox sitcom. And it does kind of have that. I almost think it would do better on Comedy Central. It just, I don't know. It's okay. It's not great. I don't really, if it gets canceled, I'm not going to be sad about it. I like the people that are in it, but it's just meh.
Is it that broadcast versus network TV kind of debate that goes on where the content in the show, it seems like it'd be able to accomplish more as a network thing rather than having to abide by broadcast standards? Kind of like,
because they did an entire episode. The second episode was all about them inadvertently getting their dad's high.
Oh, okay.
With pot brownies, where if it was on Comedy Central, they would have foregone all the fact that it was in a brownie portion of it, I think, and they could have gone further with it. It was, I don't know, it was, it's just so middle of the road okay. It doesn't really, I don't know. The only thing that kind of jumps out to me is Giovanni Ribisi's really good, and Seth Green is good, but everybody else is kind of they're just there.
All right, The Walking Dread, who showed up for the first time this past week.
Oh, yeah.
We actually almost got two wishes, Steve, which was the first wish came true, which was the commenters to intermingle with each other. And then I think we brought it up.
It did work.
Well, yeah, but we also brought up the fact that it would be interesting if we actually had to possibly like moderate people. I don't know if you caught what happened over on Off the Cuff, but it was kind of it looked a little heated because The Walking Dead called another guy a fanboy and set off the other guy, and I looked at it and they kind of resolved it themselves. I was like, oh, we almost got two of our wishes.
Nothing's worse than when a Nintendo fanboy gets called a Nintendo fanboy and he can't handle it.
So, but yeah, he says his favorite new show of the fall so far has been Brooklyn Nine-Nine with Andy Samberg. I too agree. I mean, I don't know that it's my favorite show of the fall, but I haven't seen a new show this fall that I haven't liked in some way. And I did find Brooklyn Nine-Nine to be pretty funny.
Isn't that show kind of like Scrubs, but instead of doctors, it's cops?
You know what? Yeah. I can see that analogy. It's not a Bill Lawrence show.
Because that's the first thing that I kind of thought about it. I mean, I didn't watch a lot of that either, but I mean, that's the only thing I can kind of equate it to.
Yeah, no, I can get behind that description now that it's been put in front of me. But Plato's Lament follows it up with that he's debating on that show, saying that there's something about it that it would likely get canceled early, and I think that's because it's a Fox show. I think any new Fox show automatically gets that scent.
It doesn't get that scent until they bump it over to Friday for absolutely no reason mid-season.
Or the fact that it's Fox and they kill things usually within 5 to 10 episodes.
Although, in their defense, they kept Fringe around for 5 seasons.
Well, it's because they're learning a little bit more about, you know, not trying to 86 things too soon, i.e. Firefly.
Right.
Family Guy. So
you think I think they're still getting burned by Firefly.
Oh my god, I almost bought a Bring Firefly Back t-shirt on ThinkGeek the other day. I gotta let it go. I really do.
Do you want to take over a little bit, Steve?
I was gonna say, some people like Super Film Fan 98 and Connor Murphy have both said that they like The Blacklist.
Yes, I did like that as well.
Which it's almost like a Silence of the Lambs type of comparison, only the guy that's captured by the FBI, or that he kind of lets himself be captured, doesn't eat people.
Yeah.
And they're almost hinting the fact that pretty much everybody's almost figured out that that's more than likely his daughter.
Yeah.
Which would explain his entire infatuation in knowing everything about her.
Are you going to say something, Danner?
I was, because thanks, Steve. I haven't watched it yet.
It's not a spoiler.
Oh,
you're
anything. Not. It's still confusing as all hell.
Yeah.
Oh, but good.
It's from what I've said is people that have watched it, I've heard from numerous accounts that they make it blatantly obvious.
Oh, yeah, good.
It's without coming right out and saying, this is my daughter. They and just it, kind of, it's kind of tiptoed around without really saying it.
If it's not his daughter, then he's just really creepy.
Which I could get behind that too, because that would be the same as Hannibal and the Clarice kind of relationship. Yeah. But that would almost be too much of a copy of that. So, but I agree. I really like the show as well. I keep seeing people saying that, like Super Film Fan 98 says, he believes The Shield was decent and hopes it gets better.
It's in, and I'm sure Mike's going to say the exact same thing or close to it, which it's a Whedon show. I don't really expect it to get better until the third or the fourth episode for it to really pick up and hit that stride. I mean, they're still in the process of introducing and giving you backstory on everybody. And I usually, once Whedon and Jed Whedon get those introductions done, that's usually when the ball gets going and things start developing and the good stuff starts happening. So I say that it will probably start picking up between around either the next episode or the episode after that.
Wasn't it you that told me that Whedon had like the 6-episode thing where it's like his shows don't really get good until the sixth episode?
Pretty much, because he spends a lot of time laying a lot of groundwork.
I remember having a similar discussion when Dollhouse aired.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, oh, I don't really care for it. I don't really care for it. And then you're like, you know, just give it 6 episodes. That's usually where it gets good. And I mean, the one you pointed out to me is Firefly, because the 6th episode of Firefly is Out of Gas.
Yeah.
Which is arguably one of the best episodes of that series, as short as it is. And I do think that Dollhouse turned around after the 6th episode too. I don't think it got really good, but it got a lot better.
Yeah, I think once they get all the establishment and they get all the characters in and everybody's roles, and you kind of get who everybody's roles are with a Joss Whedon series, that's when the magic happens.
I did get a lot of I haven't seen the 2nd episode yet, so I don't know if this is like becomes like a running thread, but I did get a lot of Firefly vibe off of the pilot. It really hit me in the face when they introduce you to their mobile command center and they show them like driving up in the back of the plane, and I was like, whoa, it's Serenity.
Yeah, that's the same vibe I got.
Yeah, I got that. And then for some reason, Coulson, when Coulson and I can't even remember the other guy's name are interrogating Sky, I got like the Blue Hand guys vibe.
Yeah,
off of them. And I was like, oh, well, at least he gets to carry on his Firefly stories. So, but that's not making a comparison to Firefly is not a bad thing.
Yeah. Have you heard, and I haven't seen the 2nd episode yet either, but I've seen all the news popping around the web that the ratings kind of dipped quite a bit for the 2nd episode, but also that they had a kind of significant special guest for about a minute and a half.
They did. And I think, yeah, the ratings did dip a little bit from what I heard.
Well,
but nobody knew that this person was in it either.
They teased it online.
But still, not a lot of people knew about it ahead of time, or well, nope. Ratings probably would have been higher.
I don't know if they would have been higher, because you have to think how many people just goosenecked the first episode. Like, I'm just going to look in and see what this is. And then how many people were like, oh, this isn't what I want. And then they just didn't come back. Like, regardless of whatever ABC decided to throw in there to maintain the ratings, maybe they just didn't tune back in. I was not expecting the show to regularly get, what, 12 million people? 20 million people?
20? Yeah,
something like that.
I was not expecting them to get 20 million people every Tuesday. That's just dumb if someone expects to get that many people every Tuesday night. So,
and then they again, I've seen like 5 minutes of it, but they dropped something again, mentioning the Tahiti thing and the,
yep,
you know, getting stabbed through the heart by an Asgardian. So, which I think they're gonna beat that with a stick,
yeah,
that's besides
the fact. There's been exclusive previews now for Thor both weeks now during the show. So they're going to beat the crap out of pushing that until Thor comes out. So,
other than that, a lot of people had stuff to say about Breaking Bad. Just that it was a great show and they kind of just had to see it go.
I have 2.25 episodes left to go.
Oh, man.
I'm getting there.
And kind of a mini conversation sprung up around that, because, you know, it was a great, being that it's a great show and stuff. And, you know, Super Film Fan agreed with Freddie Savage, saying that it's an awesome show, that he's jumping on the bandwagon now. Walking Dread also said that, you know, he liked it as well. But then Plato's Lament jumped in there saying that while he likes it, he also enjoys other TV shows, like older stuff like Gunsmoke and Get Smart and Dragnet. I threw in my two cents about the Avatar series on Nickelodeon and Friday Night Lights being two series that I actually enjoy more than Breaking Bad. But I did enjoy, that's not taking anything away from Breaking Bad.
Would you say that Avatar is your favorite series?
I mean, it's hard because I put Friday Night Lights and Avatar at like the number one spot on my list. It's just, I don't know that I could actually choose one over the other, especially since one is still going and I can still get into it on a regular basis.
Well, okay. I would say Legend of Korra I see as more of a separate.
Well, that's what I mean by series.
Entity, but okay.
I get
what you're saying.
Because I applaud them for what they were able to do with Legend of Korra, which is make it a sequel without completely destroying what was set down before it. Which a lot of things can do. And they're just exploring more things, and they've, you know, it's obviously like 70 years after the original, so they have different technology and stuff like that, and you get to see different things. With nice little throwbacks to the original series. We did have the geek goal.
Yes, which did pop up quite frequently throughout the comments page.
I did like yours, Danner.
I liked mine too.
I did too.
So.
Yes, you said own a movie theater.
Yep.
And have a comic book store.
Yeah, yes. It's that would be my ultimate. Like, I got to be specific about the movie theater. It's got to be like an Alamo Drafthouse style type of a movie theater where it's like full service bar, tons of beer on tap, full service kind of like kitchen, along with, you know, nice theaters, and then, yeah, play some new stuff, but like marathons of like Ghostbusters on the weekend or showing the Gremlins movies back to back. Or, I mean, just stuff like that. Just cool, niche-y shit like that. That would be my ultimate goal for a movie theater. And then slap a comic book store on the side of it. Oh, I would never leave the place.
Well, you saw that there's a, you saw my reply to you, didn't you?
About
the theater in Manistee.
No, that's because I just have money to drop on buying a movie theater in Manistee.
Hey, I don't know how much it
well,
is.
Well, you know, there is a dead movie theater by us.
There's one by us.
There's actually two of them.
There's one literally around the corner from my house.
Showcased East and Cinema 10 are both garbage. So, yes, no, they're both garbage. West is the only, is the best theater in the area, and then there's Trillium.
I think Trillium's the best in the area.
I disagree, but
I dislike Showcase.
Well, you can,
or Rave, or
I can, you can just
the hell they call themselves.
You can dislike the company. That doesn't change the fact that their theater is awesome. But
that is impressive when you go up to it or walk in, especially with gunshots aplenty.
Well, I happen to think the Trillium Theater is a horrible design for a movie theater.
Oh, I'm not going to debate that issue of it, but the presentation is a hell of a lot nicer.
Sure, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I've never had the issues when I've gone to West, and I actually worked there for like a year and never had an issue with it. And I've seen both sides of it, like. First of all, their booth is immaculate. I've never seen a projection booth look like theirs does. But, and, you know, normal moviegoers don't get to see that. But it was nice to see that they had the attention to detail or the build quality to do both halves of their building instead of just what the customers see. They actually finished the entire thing. And fun little thing of note, if there's ever a zombie apocalypse, that's the building I'm going to.
I'm going to Rivertown.
I'm going to west because they filled in the cinder blocks are completely filled in with concrete between them.
Nice.
So the building will not move at all. It'll sink before it'll move. But we all know zombie apocalypses aren't real.
We just hope.
No, that... there's certain Canadians that think they are, and they buy, you know, samurai swords and survival kits.
Dear God. Yeah, but
I had a guy that I went to school with that actually works for a company that sells zombie apocalypse survival kits, and I'm like, you gotta be shitting me.
Well, but if you think about it, though, you could go and buy a zombie survival kit, and it could eventually end up being useful for something, right? I mean, a survival kit is essentially a survival kit for surviving.
True, but it depends on what you're trying to survive.
I mean, maybe if you still have food and rations and like some type of shelter, all that really matters is, I'm guessing in a zombie survival kit, you don't get a gun, you get like a pickaxe, or, you know, something quiet to kill zombies.
Because
with.
Using a gun is silly in a zombie apocalypse.
Yes. Well, it can be. Let's see, what else did we have here?
We had a guest that wasn't logged in that said, my ultimate geek goal would be to own a dragon.
Good luck with that one. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sound like such a dick.
They could get a Komodo dragon.
That's true.
You could.
That, see? Semi-obtainable. Just not, I'm sure, exactly what he meant, but...
You could take little wings
you
to
could
it.
Obtain one from Chinatown.
Yeah.
One of those ones with people underneath it.
Mm. But do you go to Chinatown and do you buy a dragon or do you buy a Mogwai? Because, I mean, seriously, much rather have a Mogwai.
Mogwai.
Yeah, but I have a feeling that a Mogwai could cause more problems than a dragon.
Hey, only if you feed it after midnight or get it wet.
Right. So more problems than a dragon.
That's what she said.
Oh!
Nice.
Sorry. Good placement. Connor Murphy says, ultimate geek goal, ? Wow, brain about to explode with the amount of possible ideas flowing through my head. He says that it's just being able to be a geek for his entire life. But he wants to maintain some inner geek childhood. Which, don't we all, that's why we sit here and converse about it week
yeah,
to week.
But I think what he's talking about is he wants to be able to look back on it fondly rather than look back on it in like with hate pants.
Oh, okay. So like when I look back at Transformers, the original one, I dislike it because I'm older now and I'm like, I don't like it, even though I did back then. Whereas he wants to be able to look back at it and say, I think that's still great.
Well, okay, but you can say, but I think he's trying to say like he wants like the best of both worlds, right? So even though right now, like he might not think that Transformers, like the early, like the first version of Transformers is great, he still would like to look back on it fondly because it was when... You know, he doesn't hate it because it's not good now. He still likes it because it was good then, you know, kind of thing. Rather than just becoming very angry about it. And I think that's where I try to sit there because I keep saying I have no geek nostalgia. So it's kind of like, yeah, that stuff was great.
And some people have nerd rage.
Yeah, there's a lot of nerd rage on the internet. Which
what does that look like?
I don't
..
Yeah. But that's one thing that Freddie Savage has said that he actually likes about our network is that we're not angry all the time. He does say that he likes the positivity and the lack of flame wars. Apparently he doesn't listen to Off the Cuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because he just has to listen to me speak for 5 minutes on there. And I radiate positivity right at my ass. It's amazing.
Yes.
No, but
you bend over and multicolored rainbows come out.
Oh yeah, filled with razor blades shooting at Sean's face.
I knew that was coming.
Oh man.
I've listened to every episode.
Taste the rainbow.
My ass off, so yes. Sean Altirius says his goal is to collect all the X-Men related comics. Right now he's working on finishing up the Uncanny run. And once the Uncanny is done, his focus will be to the original X-Men.
Now, that is a lofty, lofty goal. And if he accomplishes that goal, I applaud him because, ooh, giant size X-Men number one and the original X-Men, like the first five issues of that thing, super expensive. Very hard to find good rated versions of it, too.
Yeah, I'm curious, Sean Altieri, can you, like, maybe, I don't know if it'll fit in a comment or if you can email it to us, but could you, like, tell us how far along you are with your collection? I would be curious to know.
I don't even know how many that consists of.
Too many?
I'm unfamiliar with Marvel.
More than 400, I know that.
I was going to say, I'm going to get excited if I ever complete my run of Uncanny X-Men from the 5 years I wasn't collecting, which I'm close, but I'm not quite there yet.
Didn't it stop at 500?
No.
No? Okay. Because I just remember the last Uncanny slice that I can remember right now off the top of my head is when X-23 jumped in there for two issues and it was like 460. I think it was like 460.
I thought it was higher up than that, but
I could be wrong, but I know it was obviously over 400.
No, there was definitely an X-Men 500. I remember that issue. Okay.
There was another one,
which we all kind of did. Super film fan, 98 said, doesn't really have a geek dream goal that he could think of, but owning a Batmobile or the DeLorean would be all he could really imagine. To which many of us had stated, yes, owning a Batmobile would be awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
And it depends on which one.
Yeah, everyone skipped over the DeLorean part. everyone just kind of latched onto the Batmobile. Only because I think that I wouldn't want to own a DeLorean because it wouldn't be the DeLorean, which just kind of bummed me out.
Yeah. If there's no flux capacitor, no go, man.
Or Mr. Fusion. I'll even settle for just a Mr. Fusion.
I want it to float.
Yeah.
I just wanted to shoot sparks out of it when you hit 88. It doesn't have to time travel. Has to shoot sparks.
I think that could be easily done.
Probably with any normal DeLorean, that's possible.
You could just let metal drag on the bottom of it.
Let's see. Super Film Fan followed up the Batman post with saying that he would like, he's a big fan of the Batman Forever or the 66 Batmobile. And I said that I was a fan of the 66 Batmobile, but that I can't stand the Batman Returns or the Batman Forever Batmobiles.
I want the animated series.
I thought you were saying, Batman and Robin.
Oh,
but,
no, Batman Returns
is actually,
I'm sorry. I did mean to say that it's Batman and Robin or the Batman Forever Batmobiles. Cause technically Batman Returns and Batman are the same Batmobile.
It's just Batman Returns, it splits into the Batpod.
And has the lift underneath it, which makes no sense whatsoever.
The Bat Pogo Stick. Go, go, Gadget Pogo.
Like, I mean, of that, you know, the Batman Returns Batmobile, the one, like, I can almost forgive the Batpod because of the way the car is designed. I can't forgive the lift. That just doesn't make any sense to me. What Batmobiles are your favorite, Danner?
I like the animated series Batmobile the best.
Which one?
The original. The from the first animated series. Oh my god, I'm blanking.
You mean the 92 one?
Yeah.
With Kevin Conroy and Mark
Hamill?
Yeah,
Kevin Conroy. Yes, that one. That is the Batmobile that I like. That is my favorite Batmobile.
Yes. So,
I would have to agree. I really like the animated Batmobile. A lot.
I also like the
one I think would be Arkham Asylum one.
And I was about to say that as well. Yeah.
I can't remember the Arkham Asylum one very well because you don't actually see it that much.
You see it in the very beginning.
It's Well, no, you get to see it in the middle of the asylum.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's where he gets the explosive gel and...
I didn't spend a lot of time looking at it.
You have all the thugs beating on it.
I didn't spend a lot of time looking at it.
I did.
But, so is there anything...
I was like, that's one awesome
card. Is there anything you think we missed in the reader comments?
No, I think that's it.
All right.
Do we want to answer the questions we asked?
Yeah, sure.
The ones that...
Well, I don't... The problem is I watch a lot of TV shows, and I wasn't disappointed by anything that I've seen so far this fall. Dads, I still have yet to check out because I didn't know it was a Seth MacFarlane show, and now that I know it, I'm going to show it to Allie because she likes Seth MacFarlane. So I'll probably end up watching that one. Not saying that I'll only watch it if she watches it. I mean, it could be good, and I might end up watching it myself. But like of the new stuff, I do like the Michael J. Fox show. I am happy with, so far I've been happy with The Return of Revolution, which we can talk about at another time. My ultimate geek dream goal, man, I don't know. The movie theater is a great idea because, I mean, technically you could make it like a haven for all things geek, right? Like even if I said like an arcade, like you could put an arcade in a movie theater, like Danner's.
It could technically be an amalgamation and just a geek mecca.
Which was, you know, what Steve said in the forum too.
Yeah.
About taking one over and just having
a garage sale in one room, arcade in another, actually play retro movies in two other ones, play new movies in two other ones.
So,
there's radio headquarters in one for live shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you snuck in something for yourself under the guise of a family gift? That was my question last week, and got the cable modem, you know, the high speed broadband internet. I snuck that past my parents. The only other thing I can think of that I did was I got them to buy like a PlayStation 3, but I had already had one. I mean, but I got them to buy it for themselves because they were looking at a Blu-ray player. And I got them to buy a Wii. My parents really liked the Wii. And there's the kitty.
Yep.
And we're still looking at Danner's wall. Oh, it's a dancing cat. Boy, it's a good thing this isn't being recorded and going up on YouTube.
It is.
Is it? It's not?
I don't know. No,
it has to be a live Google Hangout for that. So yeah, I kind of like, you know, Danner's idea of, the movie theater. I guess another kind of like a realistic geek dream, because right now it kind of is a dream, would be to have, you know, would be kind of to share it with Steve, which is have, Geekcast Radio actually take off. which, I mean, it hasn't like taken off, but I don't know. Steve's the one that looks at all the stats, but there's definitely been an increase in commenting in the last 10 episodes of Altered Geek, and I hope that you guys are enjoying the rest of the site and the content.
Yes.
So, Steve, what are your answers?
For me, my favorite new fall TV show is kind of difficult for me. The ones that I did watch, I did like. So it's been kind of a tough decision to kind of narrow it down. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm still kind of leery about, just because I really don't care for a lot of Joss Whedon stuff, with the exception of the Avengers movie. But I'm optimistic about it. Plus, ABC's not going to kill it anyway because they're funding it. They own everything associated with it. You know, the title, the characters, Marvel, ABC. So, I mean, it's just walking commercial. but I like The Blacklist, even though some of it's a little predictable. And at the same time, it's kind of reminds me too much of Hannibal Lecter and, you know, Silence of the Lambs. So it's kind of stuck there. I think I would say like the crazy ones, only for the fact that it's something different and it kind of puts Robin Williams in his element.
Okay.
So I mean, that doesn't count my returning shows because some of them haven't returned yet. But I too was impressed with Revolution on its return. That was actually a really good episode.
Yeah.
And I noticed a lot of supernatural type tones in it. Just the more it gets writing or gets written that way from the new writer.
Right.
So, but ultimate dream goal would be to see Geekcast Radio go completely mainstream, where we could all sit there and do this for not only fun, but a living. Because I would love to do this all day, every day.
I don't know about that, but yes.
Well, I don't mean like sitting like exactly podcast like every hour of the day, like the tech, the Twit network, but be able to go to events and have content and that kind of stuff and kind of keep everything going. But the other thing is I kind of like the movie theater idea just because of the same reasons. But I would like to have a Batmobile. That's always one of those things. And because of the Batmobile costing so much, I would like a actual Batman costume. That would be kick ass. It's weird, but it's funny.
All right.
I would wear it to scare people. And then the
and then go to jail. Because you would be arrested.
I would jump across rooftops and I'd get arrested. Yeah. They'd be like, Batman goes to jail. And I'd be like, you can't stop me. I wear hockey pads.
And then they'd tase you.
Don't it wouldn't work, bro. Because I'd wear hockey pads.
All right.
So, yeah.
All right. So, let's see. Do you want to share your news and then we can move on to my topic?
Yes, I don't know if you noticed this earlier today, but there was a press release of the return of Reboot. I don't know if you're familiar with the show.
I love that show. Well, yeah, let me rephrase that. I loved it when it was on originally. I've tried to go back and watch it since it's been on Netflix. Doesn't really hold it up as well as I hoped it would.
I have the complete series DVD set that I actually got for review, and the box set's great, don't get me wrong. The show is horribly dated.
Yes,
because it's
very much
it's the first CG animated cartoon before Beast Wars, before all that, and the company that made it was Mainframe Entertainment, and they got bought out in the mid-2000s by Rainmaker Entertainment. Which, that's all stuff that nobody really cares about. But they have been teasing about doing reboot movies over the last 5 years and then just kind of never decided to do it. And then there was, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, they had some kind of a test footage that kind of floated around. And it says now loading Guardian version 2.0 or something like that. And it was very reboot-esque in design. I ripped the video before it disappeared. So they've been kind of subtly hinting at it over the last year or two. But the funny thing about it is now they're actually bringing back... under their TV division, they call it Mainframe Entertainment again. They renamed it to that, so it's got the original name, and then they're bringing back Reboot. I don't know if it's a continuation. I don't know if it's like a reboot. it's kind of funny. The only thing that would suck if they continued it is, I know they have other voice actors that can duplicate people, but Tony J, the guy that played Megabyte, is dead. So I don't know how they would go about doing that. But anyway, now it's got people. What's that?
Maybe they'll have a new villain.
Maybe. Or they could just get me to do it.
They'll call him. They'll call him. I can. They'll call him Gigabyte.
They'll call him Gigabyte. They actually had him and merge or with Terabyte. Somebody else become Gigabyte.
So. Yeah, Terabyte sounds a lot.
Yeah, they could call him Terabyte.
They could call him Terabyte.
Terabyte. That's cool.
Terabyte. See? They're I'm writing it for him already.
Yeah, we don't even have megabytes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, we don't even worry about megabytes anymore. So,
you're so the 90s.
But yeah, it's so badly dated. Like they have the first entry into the web and all this, yeah, and the incoming game and the games looked like crap, just like, you know, the series kind of did. But yeah, now it's got people clamoring for Beast Wars revival now, so which that'll never happen because Hasbro owns Beast Wars. So, but yeah, I thought that was kind of a neat, interesting thing, and deserved to be brought up.
No, I would like to see. I'd give it a shot. I mean, like Danner said, I liked it when I was a kid, and I'll watch it again because I don't have any special place in my heart for it because I have no nostalgia for that stuff. So I'm sure if it showed up somewhere, I'd end up watching it a couple episodes, probably the whole thing as a train wreck show.
So I'm sure it'll be fine because I mean the original did really well for them.
Right.
That's what launched their entire CG network. And honestly, there's not really much going for them now. So the fact that they're having to go back to the Mainframe Entertainment name and revive, reboot, and that kind of speaks volumes about their company.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's kind of that news. The other kind of thing is not really even related to anything other than GCRN is... we are syndicated.
Oh, yes. You did this.
Yes.
What did you do, Steve?
I set this up last week. We did a cross-show syndication between two different networks. It's another local podcast network to us, and he's from Flint, Michigan area. The Tiger Prince Entertainment Podcast Network. Has a podcast called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Where they discuss them after every episode airs. So we're syndicating their show on our network, and they're syndicating Altered Geek over there.
Very cool.
So be sure to check that out and kind of see how they feel about S.H.I.E.L.D. and all the things as it comes along.
Right.
And the theories and everything else. So, but I think that's it on that front. So let's go to your topic.
All right. There's a lot of times, the easiest way to, pose this question, and I guess this would be my, listener question for the episode, which is, technology has evolved so fast, kind of, at least in my opinion, it's evolved a lot faster in the last 7 years or so than it has at any point in my lifetime, or at least it feels like it has. And I'm wondering if there's any technology that you take for granted that when you actually sit down and you think about what it is or what it's doing, that it still kind of blows your mind. Like one example I have is GPS. GPS blows my mind. And I know that makes me sound really old, but I love maps. I like looking at maps and all this stuff. And sometimes I'll just turn the GPS map function on my phone just so I can see that something else can see where I am and like how accurate it is to where I actually am. Not because I'm lost and I'm using it for that, but it's just, I'm so fascinated that we live in a world where three satellites orbiting miles above our head can tell me where I am down to like 3 feet. And like, just, you know, I'll go like months, you know, oh, I need to know where this is, or I need to know where that is, and I need to know how to get there. And then, but when I stop and think about it, it's like, dang, I can't even believe I can do this. Not to mention, I can't believe I can do this, but I can't believe I can do it on a device that fits in my pocket.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, is there anything like that for you guys where, you know, you take it for granted, but when you actually think about it, it's kind of amazed. You're kind of amazed that you actually have this. Don't all jump in at once now.
Well, I was going to say, for me, you told me about this like a week ago, and I could not think of something like GPS. Yes, to me, amazing because of the whole, I grew up in the MapQuest age of the, well, I got to go somewhere, so I'm going to jump online. I'm going to print off directions. And then driving. Oh, shit, there's construction here. Oh, no. Oh, no, my directions are useless now. Oh, God, I don't know where I am. And now I'm in downtown Detroit and I'm lost. So it's, to me, like, GPS is amazing in the fact that it just takes the stress out of every single trip I go on now, which is great. So, and I knew you were going to talk about GPS, so I didn't really want to harp on GPS. But yesterday, my Fitbit charge completely died on me. And I ran around work so much that I've been like, man, my Fitbit was on, I would have like 20,000 steps today, easily. And just like how bothered I was that I feel like I wasted all the energy of walking around because I didn't have a way to track it. So it makes me feel like it didn't happen and it didn't count for anything. And
I saw your Twitter, like, it was like, you've only walked like 500 steps. It's like,
steps.
What did Danner do?
It's called, Danner woke up in the morning and got to work and didn't realize that the Fitbit was dead and had no way to charge it. And I had the busiest day I've had probably in 3 months, and I didn't stop moving for 9 hours straight. And just like, I was fine that it was a busy day. I was fine that I was getting shit out by customers. I was fine with it. What I was pissed about was the fact that I had nothing to show for it on my Fitbit because I didn't have the ability to track where I was going or how many steps I took during the day. Like, it's pretty much ruined my entire week because of the fact that I couldn't track my steps. And it's just gotten to the point where and it's all Mike's fault because he gave me a Fitbit and got me going on this. And I'm just like, I really like the fact that I could see how much stuff I'm doing. And I could track all this stuff, and then I went out and bought the Flex, so now I can track my sleep, and I can track how much water I drink per day, and then it partners with my fitness app, and now I can track my calories, and then it adds the calories from however much walking I've done today to my other food in my fitness app, and it's just, between my iPhone and my Fitbit, I just can track all my movement, and everything I do in a freaking day. And when I stop and think about it, it's quite amazing to the fact that I would just shovel shit in, walk, do whatever, but now I can track it. And then better yet, I can compete with friends online and be like, I walked more than you did. And it just comes down to the whole, like, to me, they're playing off of the whole thing that I loved about Xbox Live, which is the achievement points and just having a bigger achievement score than anybody. And now it's the exact same thing, but it's actually far more beneficial to me to track my movement than to sit on my ass on my couch and get achievements on Xbox Live. So I really like the Fitbit way too much to the point where it's literally, it's healthy, but it's unhealthy at the same time.
I'm not entirely sure that we just didn't get a 10-minute ad from Fitbit.
I know. If you want to send me free bands, Fitbit, you could get a hold of me at Art Danner on Twitter. We've talked before when I had service problems. You know where I'm at.
All right, Steve, your turn.
I would almost kind of say, like, Skype, for instance, because it kind of amazes me sometimes how, because it's such a touchy program anyway, how that it functions at all between, I mean, I know it's an instant messenger, but how it does like the voice thing and how you can turn it into essentially a cell phone.
Right.
And to think about it, that 10 years ago, this kind of setup wouldn't really even be possible.
Yeah.
You pretty much had to have a microphone and be in the same room. Whereas the dawn of all the instant messengers coming out eventually added vocal ability to them, but it was not really working all that great until Skype came along.
Right.
So, I mean, I would say with that in an instance, but also one of the things is listening to music or files of music. I remember in high school carrying around a portable CD player, which compared to an MP3 player is not all that portable.
Yeah. No, I remember those things. Holy cow.
And mine was probably the size, I don't know, the size of a DVD, like, box set of a TV show.
Yeah.
It was, like, pretty thick and a couple inches thick, and I used to, like, shove it in my coat. And I was like, oh, I'm cool. I got a portable CD player. And, you know, burn 20 songs to a CD. And, you know, nowadays you can burn files to your car.
Yeah.
Or plug in an MP3 player or your phone. I mean, you're able to carry so much more data than back then. And just how it's changed in size over the years is just kind of one of those things that I find interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I have two more that maybe you guys can chime in on, and feel this. Maybe you'll share the same sentiments. One is just the way the internet, like, and this goes back to your Skype thing. The way the internet has just like driven itself into the lives of people within the last 7 years. I don't even know if it's been, it's actually been more like 5 or 6. Like, I feel like the internet has just come on with the evolution of the smartphone. Internet has finally become like this thing that's just, it's there. Like, I don't know that I can, you know, I often, you know, there's often like the joke of, I bet you can't go a day without your smartphone. I bet you can't go a day, you know, without checking something. It's like, I get kind of antsy when I can't even go like an hour without checking something. Like, it's got, I just checking in somewhere. And I like having the access to internet or the internet whenever I need it. Like, oh, I need to know the answer to something. Oh, I'll just look it up right now on my phone. I mean, I know the iPhone, because that's the smartphone I'm most familiar with. Like, that completely changed working at the movie theater for me, because before the iPhone, I just had a dumb phone. And Tuesdays and Saturdays when I would go to work for my 15, 17 hour shifts, like, those days did not exist to me. I would go into work and I wouldn't be able to like instant message anybody. I'd be able to text a couple friends here and there, but I wouldn't be able to instant message my larger circle of friends. I wouldn't be able to read any websites, any news, nothing. I wouldn't know anything happened on a Tuesday or a Saturday.
That would suck.
Until I got out of work and at like, you know, midnight or 2 a.m. But after I got the iPhone and it had, you know, an actual browser built into it with actual internet, all of a sudden I could go to my friends' forums and comment and read text stories and interact with the outside world. Like, all of a sudden I felt connected, like this little pin of light came down from the sky and went, bing, you're on. And it just, that, you know, the internet just being everywhere. I mean, we take it for granted, but when you sit back and think about like 5 years ago, you probably didn't have the internet in your pocket. I
didn't until 2 years ago.
Right. I'm just saying, like, in general, I don't think the large population of the people had the internet in their pocket before 5 years ago. And now it's just everything.
No.
Like, it's like, that's the thing. And I, And but at the same time, the flip side of it is there are people that don't have them, like our friend Joe, Joe Reed over on Off the Cuff. He doesn't have one, but that's, to me, that's commendable in this day and age when everyone's got a smartphone, and like he doesn't want one because he understands like the time sink that they can become. You know, just checking in while your significant other's sitting on the couch or whatever. I'm guilty of it. But you know, he doesn't want that though. You know, he wants to be there, and more power to him. And
see,
stuff like
I like having it because it's the ultimate queller of all arguments. The moment two friends get into an argument about, no, it's this, no, it's that, and it's just like, okay, this is over. Jump on Google, figure it out, and be like, okay, you're wrong, you're right, shut up.
You're wronger.
Or you're wrong, and you're also wrong, and you're both dumbasses. I mean, I just, to me, it saves a lot of time of having to listen to asinine arguments. That's why I enjoy it.
What do you think about that, Steve? The internet is being everywhere. I mean, do you like it? Do you hate it? I mean,
well, I mean, I've been fortunate enough. I've had internet since 96, but back then it was funny. Now, I mean, it's kind of interesting to see how it's progressed over the years. Just because I remember having a simplistic as all hell website back in 98.
Was it GeoCities?
Funny you should say, I had one that was on the internet ramp when they had like, oh, you could have 15 megabytes of web space, and it was kind of funny. It used to be a internet dial-up internet provider in the Flint area.
I think I remember that.
The internet ramp, yeah, they lasted a while. Then they got bought out by Earthlink. But I used to play multiplayer Beast Wars on the MSN Gaming Zone.
Okay.
And I used to sit there so long that I dominated everybody. I got real good at the game. And I would be hopped up on caffeine and adrenaline because I'm sitting there playing for like 12 hours straight, to the point I can't see straight. And I'd freak out when the dial-up connection would die. I'd be like, damn it, no! And then they actually had to pry me away from the computer a few times because I wouldn't eat. I'd just sit there and play. But I mean, just the difference between that and sitting there and playing games or communicating with people now is it's somewhat similar, but it's so more advanced and easier to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you have cable internet speeds, which, you know, I couldn't imagine being on dial-up now. I think I'd have to shoot myself waiting. And you can play people on not just the PC, but you can play online on your consoles, you can play on your phone. You can play. I mean, you're just the fact that the internet's advanced to the point where we're constantly connected is kind of mind-boggling in itself.
Yeah, the proliferation of the internet over the last decade, even the last.
It's like, also
like I said, the last 5 years is just crazy.
Well, I mean, it's gotten so bad though to the same degree just for the fact that people don't know how to communicate without it.
Yeah, that's kind of unfortunate. I mean, there are downsides to the whole thing, but I don't want to get into like a really in-depth discussion on the merits, you know, the positives and negatives of the internet at the moment. We could save that for a future discussion.
Yeah, that could be for a Geekcast radio episode.
We could be here for days.
Yeah. The last thing that I want to bring up is kind of a spinoff of the whole internet just being in your pocket is the smartphone. Like it's still every year I upgrade to the newest iPhone and I find out what's in them and whatnot. And I think it was the 3GS trumped my first MacBook ever, like in terms of like power. I bought my first MacBook in 2004, and it was an 800 megahertz power PC with, like, I think it was, it had something weird. It was like 768 megs of RAM in it instead of like 512 or 1 gigabyte of RAM. And I think it actually might have only been 384, if I'm being completely honest. It was some weird number. And the iPhone, the iPhone 3GS had like a, either it was the same speed or it was like a 900 megahertz processor in it. And it had 512 megs of RAM in it. And it was kind of like, wow, this thing in my pocket has more power in it than the first Apple notebook that I ever bought. And the 5S is, it's not, I mean, it's still a ways off from trumping the current computer that I'm using right now, but it's catching up. And that, to me, that just blows my mind that I've got this big ass, no, it's not like a big ass computer, but I've got this big notebook sitting here in front of me that I'm using to record and edit on. And then I have this tiny little thing that fits in my pocket, and the battery lasts for about 12 hours on a charge, if longer, if I'm not using it all the time. And it's like, just blows my mind that this stuff happens. And yeah, I mean, I'll pick it up and I don't like marvel at it every time, and I'll just use it the way it's supposed to be used. But like, if I stop and think, it just, it's like, wow, I cannot believe this stuff is in my pocket. So, but maybe I'm just easily wowed by some of this tech stuff.
Well, I mean, if I had a dumb phone about a year and a half ago, so I mean, it was a huge jump for me to go to a phone that's constantly connected. Although, anybody that, and this can be a future conversation on another podcast, but I have beef with the company that I have because, you know, it's poor customer service. So, don't ever go through Sprint. I'm just warning people. They are,
don't plan
terrible
to.
Their customer service sucks. Their phones suck, and they don't care about you. They'll pretty much tell you that on the phone.
Wow, sounds like Comcast.
Comcast cares, though. They do.
Oh, shit. Ours don't. My Comcast over here doesn't give a crap. They're terrible.
You got to know how to talk to them, and you got to know what channels to use.
Twitter.
I'm pretty good.
Twitter gets the best results.
Yeah, Twitter does get the best results with Comcast.
I
have figured that out.
I have a funny story real quick about Comcast because it just happened this week. Because I have cable and TV service. I have internet and TV through Comcast right now. Like a crazy good deal right now. Like I'm getting 50 meg internet and like TV with a DVR for like $39 a month for 12 months. And
what?
Yep. So, woo, go me. Allie and I haven't watched the TV because we don't watch TV. We don't care about the TV. That's one of the reasons I wanted the super fast internet, is because everything in my house runs off the internet. We've got, you know, 3 game consoles on. We've got 2 iPhones, 2 iPads, 2 computers constantly, you know, doing stuff on the internet. And, but she wanted to watch Glee. Or she wanted to be able to watch actual TV, and she's like, you know, since we have it, can we try and use it? And I was like, well, I've tried. It just, the HDMI cable or the HDMI port on the back of the cable box doesn't talk to the TV the right way. So I get, using the HDMI connection, I get sound and I get the guide, but I don't get picture. I get a black screen. So I called up Comcast a couple weeks ago, and they said, well, we'll boost the signal for you and we'll send a reset and that should fix it. And I was like, okay, whatever. And so I was futzing with it again this past week, Monday actually. And the guy, I called again, I said, cause I hooked it up just for S&Gs. I hooked up the cable box to my TV using a traditional coaxial cable, and I got picture and I got sound and I got the guide. So it was something with their HDMI connection. So I called up Comcast and I said, listen, this is what's going on. I've got, you know, when I hook it up with an HDMI cable, I get the guide, sound, and no picture. And when I use a traditional coaxial cable, I get picture, sound, and the guide. And the guy literally goes, are you sure you have it on the right input? And I was like, sir, I have, when I hook it up with an HDMI cable on the right input, I get sound. And I can see your guide. I cannot see your picture. And he goes, oh, well, here, I'm going to send you a stronger signal. And I was like, well, that's what they did last time, sir. And he goes, no, I'm looking at your account right now. Last time they just sent a reset thing. This time I'm going to send a much stronger signal, and I guarantee you that it's going to work in about 45 minutes. I said, okay, can I have your name and some kind of reference number so when I call back tomorrow because I still don't have a picture? He goes, yep. And he gave it to me in full confidence. I still don't have picture. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, you guys are so dumb.
Do you still don't to this day?
No, I don't have picture. I mean, I do if I use the coaxial cable, but not over an HDMI connection.
But who wants to use coax?
Yeah, well, and I actually kind of turned Allie off on it because she saw the picture with the coaxial cable and it looks like crap. And I said, we don't have HD service. So even with an HDMI cable, this is as good as it's going to look. She's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, no. And I was like, I've spoiled you, haven't I? And I'm like, yes. She's like, yes, you have. So because we very rarely will we look at stuff that's not HD on the TVs in the house. So, but yeah, the Comcast horror stuff and service providers, we can talk about that on a future thing. So,
well, I remember years ago I talked about Comcast horrors on Headshot, which that was just so much fun. The Sprint thing, that's my latest beef, but I think I'll start covering that kind of stuff again on Headshot and revive it so that I have a avenue to complain. That, and I wish the seven seas of hell upon Sprint, but
all right,
that's a tale for another day.
Did you write down my question when I said it?
Nope.
No, great. I can't remember what it was. Oh boy. Okay, well, I'm about ready to wrap this up. Are you guys ready to wrap this up?
Sure.
Good.
Is there, I guess, you know, since we jumped into the conversation without listener feedback, maybe the listeners can provide some feedback. You know, is there anything, any technology that you take for granted that when you stop to think about it actually still, you know, wows you? You can go ahead and share some of your thoughts or opinions or on that with us, and we can share those on episode 11. Also, let us know what you thought of the third chair. Was Danner a good third chair? Was three voices too much?
Was his chair empty?
Yeah. We just want to know.
It appeared that way on the video.
Should that chair be empty all the time?
But yeah, this is our obviously, anyone that's been listening for the last 10 episodes will know this is the first three-person Alter Geek that there's been. So curious to see what you guys think. So Steve, how can they get a hold of us to let us know how they feel?
Well, they can visit the website on geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode post and all of our different podcasts. You can rate our show on iTunes. Please be sure to leave us feedback so that we know that you're listening and we show up in all the ratings and searches. You can call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. You can become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. We are now available on Stitcher Smart Radio, which also, coincidentally enough, as people will notice under the Altered Geek posts on the website now, and this will happen with future episodes of this show and other shows, there is a image bar in place of the subscribe area around where you can share it on social media. It gives the RSS feed, the Stitcher link, the iTunes link directly so that you can go directly to iTunes, and the category for other episodes on the podcast. So it will be nice and helpful for finding the show on other areas. You can contact us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio, hashtag Altered Geek. My Twitter name is at SCP21.
Mine is at Booth Ninja 81.
Mine is at Art Danner.
So with that, we want to thank Art Danner for joining us. Hopefully you had a good time.
Thanks for having me. I had a blast.
So, all right. Until next week. Something.
Get altered. Get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
I hate doing sign-offs.
You're so good at it, though.
Bazinga.